Hello and welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm Brenton Epperson. I'm the Assistant Director of Powell County Dispatch. I'm standing in for Judge Anderson today to interview my brother, who works as an instructor in release and reintegration, which is a component of the substance abuse program at the jail. Brad, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi there, everyone. Thank you for having me in today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Tell us a little bit about the substance abuse program. I know that you don't work in every aspect of it, but just tell us about what might motivate a prisoner in the Powell County Jail to engage in something like that.
Well, the substance abuse program is about a six-month program that inmates who are in for substance-related charges can become a part of. They have to sign an agreement to do that. And it's not just inmates here locally that come from the Powell County Jail. There are programs like this in various jails throughout the state, but not every county has a SAP program operating. And so we'll see inmates, a great number of the inmates that we have in Powell County Jail that are in the SAP program come from various places through the states. They're not all local to us here. And some of those are going to come in here because they're actually looking for help. They're looking to change the direction and find some tools to make life a little easier and to beat substance abuse when they're released from jail and they get back to living life. There's also a benefit to them as far as serving out their sentence. I believe that it's, I may be wrong, but I believe that it's a 90-day reduction in sentence that they can get through going through the SAP and graduating from the SAP program. But there's an agreement that they have to sign that is pretty rigorous in, as far as the things that they have to do in the program. A lot of structure and a lot of accountability that they have to participate in. So it's a good program, but with a lot of advantages and several reasons why they would want to be a part of that.
Sure. I know I talked to a prisoner the other day who had transferred from London to come here and participate in the SAP program. So I would imagine that it encourages jails from across the state to send their prisoners here, which I imagine that probably generates a revenue stream for Powell County.
Right. I do know that there is an income that comes to the county for that, for hosting that, because they're housing those inmates I believe that some of the money will come directly through revenue streams that come from housing those inmates. And also, I believe that there may be some grant programs that we participate in that help to fund that as well, just the SAP program on top of those other revenue streams.
What are some typical things that an inmate might have been charged with to be lodged in the Powell County Detention Center long enough to participate in a program like SAP?
Several of the folks that I have gotten to know well enough to know a little bit about their charges are there for felony charges. Most of them it's possession, but for many of them it's compounded beyond that. Maybe even distribution, sales, or manufacturing even of. But then I've heard from several of them who said it was lesser things, maybe possession of marijuana charges. And I'm not sure if they're going to get into the SAP program over a first offense in that, or if it's going to be something a little bit more involved.
I know that you teach the release and reintegration class. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what you go over with the prisoners? How you feel you impact them as far as when they do get out of jail?
The things that I work with the inmates on as we go through that, it's a little bit more flexible, the program, since I'm not teaching through one of the modules that is a required part of the program. I'm actually doing some supplemental work with that. And so one of the things that I focus on right out of the gate is attitude, talking about attitude and how that impacts life and just showing them some instances from life in general that folks deal with that aren't necessarily coming from a substance abuse program. That's one of the things that really jumps out at me as I go in there 3 days a week and teach these classes. The difference in attitude between the inmates, that really jumps out. Some of these guys have been there long enough, they've gotten through the program, and they have an attitude that really they are looking for tools. They're looking for ways to make life better and to not lean on substances and not lean on past criminal behavior. They're trying to get beyond the victim stance that a lot of them come from, where they, you know, where they feel like that life has been unfair toward them. They're really trying to change their attitude. Of course, the recidivism rates for those incarcerated are pretty scary. They're pretty daunting. And I'm not saying that having a positive attitude is an absolute guarantee for one of these inmates not to end up circling back through the same behavior patterns and coming back into the jail. But I will say this, I think that those that are trying to build a good positive attitude are miles ahead of the ones that I see who clearly don't have a great attitude. So attitude is a big part of that. And then we're also looking ahead in life. One of the things that we've done, we've talked about, we just talk about writing out our bucket list and using that as a tool to find out what really matters to a person. We've only got so long here in our life on this earth, and you know, we can waste it doing things that don't help us achieve what we're really looking to get done while we're here, or we can get busy about that. One of the things I tell them is that the way we spend our days is how we'll spend our lives. And so if we're living life, if they've gotten out of jail and they're out there and they go back to living life and they're not really measuring their life against the bigger priorities they've set, then those things are never going to come to pass. So we talk about that, those bucket list items for them. But also we use that as a tool to kind of be self-reflective. Those, you know, just writing out those lists, talking about those things, gives us a clue not only to what we want to do, but who we are. And so that's produced a pretty good discussion this morning. As a matter of fact, I was there and with one group of those guys, they were talking about their bucket list items. They were sharing. A lot of those guys were clearly adrenaline junkies. They talked about wanting to go skydiving and wanting to base jump off the Empire State Building and things like that. And so we begin to get a clue into maybe what makes these guys tick a little bit. It's amazing to me how many people really have never learned to be self-reflective. They never really stop to think about what goes on inside them and what makes them do the things they do or makes them care about the things that they care about. So we're trying to explore that a little bit. Our next thing we're moving into is to understand temperament type. We're gonna even talk about some personality profiling that you might find in a psychology class. But we're talking about those things with these inmates and helping them understand some of the underlying issues that maybe have been a part of their story all along that maybe they weren't completely even aware of at the time. So we'll see how that goes.
That sounds very interesting. Is there also like a practical component to the program where you talk about things like managing, you know, how to get a job or how to keep a job, things like that?
Absolutely. And that's going to come next a little farther down the road. We're laying the groundwork right now, but helping those guys understand the resources that are available for them, helping those guys be able to be put in connection with opening up doors for them. These guys talk about their plans. They have the same kind of dreams and ambitions that just really anybody would. But a lot of these guys may not know all the avenues, all the opportunities, the connections that you need to make to actually get yourself from where you are to the things that you want to do. And so I know that there are pieces in place in this program to help them to look forward and to know kind of how to plan for those things. I don't have all the answers for that. I'm building my understanding as I go through this, but I know there's some fine people working in the program along with me who are very good at giving them direction in this kind of thing. Some of these guys want to go to school, for example. They want to further their education. They need help. You know, maybe these guys have never filled out a FAFSA form before. Maybe they don't understand some of the programs that are out there to help them afford these things. So they begin to feel very out of reach for them. And so through this program, there are resources there that are made available to them and that I'll be focusing on more as we go along with them to show them that, hey, you know what, this isn't a pipe dream for you to look in this direction. This is something that you can do if you're determined.
How many people do you have in your class that you teach?
Well, I teach three different classes. It's actually the same class that I teach three times through the week. I'll usually have 15 in two of those and 20 in the other. There are about 15 slots right now available in our SAP program. And like I said, when there are openings in the program, I've seen a few guys, even while I've been there, I've seen a few guys who have who've completed the program. Some of these fellows are parole on completion, so as soon as they graduate from the program, they parole out. Others are not. They're going to be in jail a little bit beyond it, but they finish the program. Right now here in Powell County, our program that we have 50 slots available in the SAP program, and this is its own component within the jail. These guys are in their own area. They're in a dedicated portion of the jail and have their own schedule of things that they keep to. So as they leave the program, others can come in. Now, my understanding at this point is that there's a plan to expand the program once the major addition to the jail is completed. There'll be a lot more space, and the SAP program may be one of those things that expands with that jail expansion.
It's my understanding that currently the program is for men only in Powell County. Is that correct?
No, all the ones that I work with are men only in the SAP program part that I'm involved with. There are some programs, I believe, in another portion of the jail that do involve some women inmates. I can't really speak too much to that. I don't have any involvement with that. But all the 50 participants in the SAP program, and strictly speaking, the substance abuse program that I work with, they are all men.
Okay. Do you think that that may change after the jail expansion is complete, or do you know what plans there are to expand the program?
Again, I'd probably have to direct you to David Howard or Travis Crabtree to answer that question. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Now, I understand there are certain requirements in living in their own portion of the jail. They do have a segregated population there where they're by themselves, and that there are rules that they have to follow. What kind of things do the inmates have to do to stay in the program as it concerns living in the jail?
Absolutely. Well, there are some cardinal rules to the program that, you know, obviously any substance abuse. I mean, if you're using substances while you're in the substance abuse program, you're going to be out. Violence, sexually acting out, any kind of thing like that, you're gonna leave the program without graduating it, and you won't be getting that 90 days knocked off your sentence. You're gonna go back to probably whatever jail you came from if you weren't local to there. So those are some of the hard rules that they live by. But also, and I think one of the harder things for these guys to learn to live within is an accountability structure that they have to carry out themselves. That they have to submit to accountability to the group that they're part of, and also that they have to hold others to accountability. One of the things I've noticed is, as I've talked to them, some of them, this is a real challenge. You know, other than somebody coming along and putting handcuffs on them and putting them in jail, they've never really been accountable to anybody. They've never willingly submitted to anybody else's accountability. And to join this program, they have had to sign an agreement that they will submit to accountability to the group. And so, you know, there are a lot of things there that the group will hold them accountable for. If they begin to cross some of the lines that are established, the other inmates, the other participants in the program say to them, you're over the line, and we're going to assign you something that you're going to have to do to get this straightened out. You know, you're going to have to go through what they call an LE or a learning enhancement, I think is what that stands for. That may involve a good deal of writing. It may, you know, may be some things involved with that, some study of something. And so they start to learn to do that. Now, what I find they're probably have an even harder time with than that is, you know, these guys, they don't always feel quite right in holding anybody else accountable and saying to their friend that's, you know, in the next bunk, you know, man, you're just not living up to your end of this here. They've never been in a relationship with anybody where they've had to do that. But that's a required part of this program. I've seen a couple of times where participants in the program have kind of been called on the carpet by the program director, and maybe even by others, saying, you're just not working hard enough to keep other people accountable. You're letting them slide, and you're not doing them any favors. That's been a challenge for some of those guys to do that.
So you think the program was intentionally designed to reintegrate people into society by building up a small society that holds itself accountable within the jail.
I think that's the idea. I think so. And again, you know, does that work? Well, I think it works for some of them. I think for some of them, it may not work. That, you know, you're not going to be able to fix every person, and there are those who are going to go through this program who are going to resist that, who are going to resent that the whole way through. And if they make it through to graduation, they'll have learned to say the right things and do the right things, but it won't really have changed them. However, there are certainly some that I have met that I have great confidence that they're taking some lessons to heart. They really are picking up those tools. They are really learning some things that are going to help them.